When you're going through a tough time, you might be tempted to just follow your heart or feelings. But Pastor Dave Rolf says that can actually make matters worse.
It's so important for us to realize I cannot necessarily just trust my gut. I can't just do what I impulsively feel like doing. There are people who do some of the stupidest things because on a moment they just think, this sounds like a great idea at the time. When I am in a time of difficulty, when we are being pinched in, when we're being tested to our core, we cannot get all self-absorbed about what we think and what we feel. It's going to be misleading.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
How are things going for you? Maybe things couldn't be better, or for others, this is one of the most difficult times of your life. Today on The Balanced Word, we're going to turn to the Proverbs and hear what it has to say about these tough times that we all go through. It'll lead us to a balanced, biblical perspective. Here's Pastor Dave Rolf to draw out a few Proverbs for when life hurts.
Now, let's turn over to chapter 22 of Proverbs in verse 10. And Solomon's talking about when you're in contention, you find yourself just banging heads with people and life is frustrating and it's closing in on you. Proverbs 22 verse 10 says, cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. You're in strife, you're in reproach, you're in contention. Sometimes it's just a question of cleaning house. In this case, it might mean looking at the people in your life, looking at the people you're associating with and asking yourself, who is it that keeps pulling me under? Who is it that as I continue to deal with them, as I continue to talk with them, I feel like all of my energy is being depleted? I feel that all of my strength is devoted to things that don't help anyone. They just suck the life out of me. And sometimes there are people who you love that you may just have to say, I'm going to have to keep you at a distance. You don't have to tell them that. You just do it. You're like, make a note. Now, I think for most of us, if I said, who is the one person in your life who sucks the most energy out of you? You probably, someone comes to mind right away. Now, if it's your spouse, let's put that aside and say, who else? Now, the truth is, there are some of you, though, that you're like, I have a lot of people I need to bump from my life. I have so many people who are like that. Well, if that's what you're thinking, then you're actually the problem. It's not the people. Normal people have a couple of relationships that they might dump. But it can't. Maybe it's not just people. Maybe it's just stuff. Maybe you need to do a garage sale, get rid of some of your stuff because it's all weighing on you. Or maybe it's the way that you spend your time. Maybe you're loading yourself up with things that burden you, and you just have to do some pruning. When you have a tree that gets overgrown, it's just a mess and it's not a good fruit bearer at all. You prune, you cut branches off of a tree to direct it so that it can be healthy and so that it doesn't use all of its moisture to create more leaves, it can create fruit. And we have to do the same thing with our lives. Sometimes we need to prune it. Businesses know this. Large corporations quite often will look at their different operations and their different divisions and just go, you know, this part is sapping too much of our resources and it's not producing. We need to sell that, you know, that division off so that we can continue to prune our business and allow it to do what it's going to do. Sometimes businesses decide we're getting out of that kind of business and we're going to focus our attention on this one. It's just looking at your life. And it's one of the things that can be a really good thing that comes from when you're feeling like, oh, I'm about to faint. Is there something you can cut out of your life? You know, it might just be going, I could watch less TV. Or I could, you know, and there nowadays it's so easy to, with Netflix and Hulu and everything, that You can just go binge watch a show and get caught up. Now, if you're looking at some show and you're like, I am five seasons behind, and I'm going to have to just call in sick and knock these out. Well, the truth is, if you just decided, you know what? I'm just not going to watch that show. I like it. It's good. It's funny or whatever, but I'm just going to skip it. You see new shows. Ooh, that new Jack Bauer type thing looks good, and this looks good, and that looks interesting. What if you just go, yeah, I'm not just taking on any other new shows. I'm going to catch up on 60 Minutes or whatever. And, you know, just to say, I'm going to free myself up from some of the things that are weighing me down. The Bible in Proverbs, over in chapter 12, we've seen the verse before where it says, the righteous people choose their friends wisely. But righteous people choose everything wisely. They keep their life as simple and streamlined as possible, because you can easily burn up strength just doing things that don't matter, and then it takes your strength away from what it is that you truly want to do, what it is that's truly important to you. And so, again, you got contention, you find yourself struggling. Sometimes it's just saying, I'm not going to do this. I've told the story before probably, but maybe some of you haven't heard it. Years ago, when I was at Calvary, there was a brand new first-year teacher. Now, being a first-year teacher, if you're a teacher, you know what that was like the first year. It's awful. And it's just so hard, it's so demanding. Well, one of our teachers, first-year teacher, on a Thursday night after church, one of my vice principals looks over and the light's on in this classroom, and it was way after everyone should have been, you know, gone home. And she went over there, first year teacher's there, just crying on her desk. And Mary says, what's the matter? And she goes, look at this. And she had a 2-foot high stack of papers that she needed to grade. And Mary walked over there, who was her boss, she walks over there, takes that whole stack of paper and dumps it in the trash. And she goes, do you feel better? She goes, yeah, I do. Sometimes that's what we just need to do to our lives. Just like things are stacking up, you know what? Boom. Now I feel better. I've cut some things out. I've thrown out the parts of my life that aren't really going to be productive. They're really weighing me down. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 25. And this is kind of a weird one. Proverbs 25 and verse 21. This is one of the most counterintuitive things that I think an intelligent person would expect to hear. Proverbs 25, beginning with verse 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. He's saying what Jesus said when Jesus said, bless your enemies, do good to those who despitefully use you. Now, I have to tell you that pastors sometimes who get uncomfortable with something that the Bible says, they kind of make stuff up. Because the idea of do this because it'll heap coals of fire on their head, that sounds like really unkind to us. Like, should we really do good things for people so they'll feel horrible? So pastors made up this story that, and then they all copy each other, so they all pretend like they read it somewhere, but that there was this tradition that they had in those days where if you had a fire going and your neighbor didn't have a fire going, you would put hot coals in a basket, you would carry it on your head and take it over to their house to help them start a fire. And as a result, they said what God is saying here is, you will bless them by giving them the fire that you had. Well, historically, that's just made up, frankly. These people aren't idiots. This isn't Survivor the first week. They know about fire, okay? What it's saying is exactly what it seems to be saying, that you will kill them with kindness. If you're nice to people who are mean to you, it might just drive them nuts. And wouldn't that be fun? Or if it doesn't, then they're not your enemy anymore. So it kind of works either way, the way Solomon is talking about it, but it's still sort of puzzling. Like, why should I be motivated by the fact that what I do to someone that's nice might make them feel pain? That's really not what it's about. What this really is about is for me to have a real victory, it's when I don't become like them, when I don't get dragged into their trip. Because when people are jerks, the most obvious thing to do is to try to be a jerk back. If you don't be a jerk back, but instead you're nice back, then they're like, they don't know what to do. Now it makes them look bad. I mean, that might be kind of interesting, like when Baumgartner from the Giants, you know, so mad at Puig for looking at him, you know, and then Puig's just nice back to him, sends him a note that says, I like you, with a t-shirt that said hashtag don't look at me. But it's like, you can't stay mad at somebody who won't get into a fight with you. But what's even more important than that is, you don't decide. You can be a complete mean person, but you don't decide the kind of person that I'm gonna be. I decide who I am going to be. And if I allow other people to do things that then turn me into something that I don't want to be, I'm giving them control of my life. And so intentionally blessing someone who wants to curse you, who wants to hurt you, is the only way that you can avoid letting that person get in your head. And giving that person free rent to live in your head. And now look, I know people who are still bitter against people who've been dead for years. And it's like, I won't give them the satisfaction of forgiving them. They're dead, okay? Either they're in heaven and you should forgive them, or they're in hell and they got what they deserved. But, you know, it's like, why do you still want to have your life controlled by somebody who, at this point, doesn't even know who you are probably anymore, and you're still, oh, I was bullied when I was 12. Yeah, I get it, that hurts, it's painful and everything, but why do you just want to continue to be a victim? If what you do is turn around and intentionally are kind to somebody, it'll really confuse them. It might just cause them to go, now I feel horrible. Or it might cause them to go, I guess it's okay, everything's cool, and just let's move on. But either way, we decide who we are gonna be. We don't let other people make us into something that we don't want to be. You decide. And that's why intentionally doing something that's gonna bless somebody is the smartest thing that you can do. When they are making your life miserable, you can go, it's gonna make it a little less miserable. Because look what I'm gonna do, the exact opposite that you thought I would do. Now, the last verse we're going to look at, turn over to chapter 28, Proverbs 28 and verse 26. And this is just a good general thing to remember in life. And certainly when you're going through a tough time where you feel like you need to be delivered, you need to be rescued. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. In other words, you can't trust your feelings. There are all sorts of things that could contribute to making you feel something. And when you are under pressure, and when you are tired, when you are feeling depleted, when you are being pinched in, that's the worst time for you to trust how you feel. And so what Solomon's basically saying here is, when you need to be rescued, first of all, don't just believe everything that you feel. Don't trust your gut. Years ago, I was at a wedding, and they were doing the toast, and a guy goes, here's to you, the best man, he's toasting, and he says, in my life, I've made many decisions with my head and many decisions with my heart, and I just want to tell you, always follow your heart. And I was waiting there to pray after that, and I said, under my breath, but a lot of people apparently heard it, but I said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? It's so important for us to realize, I cannot necessarily just trust my gut. I can't just do what I impulsively feel like doing. There are people who do some of the stupidest things because on a moment they just think, this sounds like a great idea at the time. When you, when I am in a time of difficulty, when we are being pinched in, when we're being tested to our core, we cannot get all self-absorbed about what we think and what we feel. It's going to be misleading. I mean, we are, sometimes look on the internet at these optical illusions. It's amazing how they can create something in a certain way, and you would swear one line is like twice as long as the other one, but you get out a tape measure and you measure it and they're the same. We are so easily deceived, and there's never a time when we are more deceived than when we are in pain. And so Solomon would just let us know, man, if you're waiting to be delivered, if you're finding yourself weakened, one of the first things you need to do is don't trust yourself. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your gut. Don't trust your heart. You know, you've got to critique. Okay, wait. Let me ask myself some tough questions. Is my response really, does it really going to advance who I am as a person, the situation that I am in, or is it going to just make it a lot worse? Every day on the news, you read about people who just hit their limits, and then they just go crazy and do something really stupid. Like the guy the other day, and it was in some other country, who got mad because Apple wouldn't fix his iPhone, and he went in and he broke like 21 iPhones in the store. And it's like, so you thought that was gonna really work out good for, you thought they would go, oh, wait, before you break any more iPhones here, we'll just give you a new one. No, of course not. We need to question our gut. We need to question what our first impulse is if we're gonna stay sane and if we're gonna make decisions that actually lead toward us bettering our life, not worsening it. You know, there is nothing worse than feeling helpless. There's nothing worse than when we go, there is nothing that I can do. I am in a jam and there are no solutions. You know how frustrating it is when you know somebody who you can think of all kinds of possibilities, but they're just like, nope, none of them are going to work. Nothing's going to help. The truth is, man, my life is just, you know, down the toilet. It's just a mess. It's horrible to feel that way. But the truth is, that's always deceptive. No matter what the circumstances and no matter what you're feeling, there's always plenty that you can do. So when we find ourselves faint, when we find ourselves pinched in, when we see that we are losing our options, there's a lot that we can do. We can look at it as an opportunity to trust in God's strength, to go, well, I'm weak right now, so he's going to have to be strong. But we can also use it as an example to say, I'm weak in this area. What can I do to exercise my strength in a way that will make me stronger later? We can always pray and look for good things to thank God for and to praise him for. We can always ask him, then it's his problem. If you're trying to solve any situation in your life and you haven't prayed about it, boy, is that dumb. That's one of the reasons why we're going to just have a time of prayer on Wednesday. Now, I mean, I hope we're all praying every day. I hope you pray for more than just that your food will be blessed. I mean, because a lot of times that prayer isn't even answered, like Anson and Justin when they went and ate raw fish a couple weeks ago and then were sick like crazy for a week. But are there things in your life that you're really not intentionally praying to God? Maybe taking a special time to fast and pray. You can do that. You can always do that. In fact, you know, if you're broke and you don't know where your next meal is going to come from, perfect time to fast and pray, right? But you can also look at your life and clean house. Go, who do I need to remove? What stuff do I need to remove? What activities do I need to prune for growth? Don't just get rid of everything. You will find that just a couple of little things, a couple of changes in your life might just completely liberate you and help you as you move forward. But clean house, prune the tree, make a difference. When you're in pain, that's a perfect time to do that. And then do what the Bible teaches you throughout the Bible. When somebody is your enemy, treat them like a friend. Be nice to them. It'll drive them crazy. It really will. It'll convert them, and then you lost an enemy. And nobody ever, with everything else we lose, you sure don't mind losing enemies. But you can always think, that person was really rude to me. I think I'm going to make them a pie. You know, the worst thing that can happen, maybe they throw it in your face, or you get there and in a moment of weakness you throw it in their face. You'll still feel better. At least you made the pie. But if they're looking at the pie and like, they don't trust it, they think you probably poisoned it, and it ends up in their trash can, that's okay. You made the pie. You reached out to them. You tried to do something good for them. And guess what? You didn't become like them. You became the person that you wanted to be, not who they expected you to be. Kill them with kindness. And then always, a time of pain is a time to question your own heart, to just go, what things might I be thinking and feeling that are really misleading? Now, in a room this size, I know there are some people in here, and some of you I know, who are going through a really hard time right now. It's like your core is being attacked, your foundations are being shaken. It's tough. But I want you to understand, if the Bible means anything at all, it lets us know you are not alone. The only thing worse than suffering is suffering alone. And God wants you to know He understands. He knows what it feels like. And the thing about faith is believing when you can't really see, you don't have all the answers, and you trust anyway. Faith is not, contrary to some of the so-called faith teachers, faith is not a way for you to just escape from all pain. If you have enough faith, you'll never hurt. The great thing about faith is faith will give you the strength to endure through pain so that you become immune to the effects of pain on your life, because faith says, you can throw anything at me that you want. I am going to go through it. I am going to survive. Faith gives you a way through. And the cool thing is, pain will end up, like it or not, it ends up helping you grow in ways that nothing else ever can. It doesn't feel that way while you're in it, at least for me. If I'm going through a hard time, I don't feel like, wow, I can just feel myself growing. But as I look back, I just go, I wouldn't have traded that pain for comfort because of what it did in my life, because of the things that I learned and what I experienced. It was truly worth it.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. When we left Pastor Dave a moment ago, he was pointing out how the tough times can actually help us grow. Here he is to add to that.
There was a poem, and Barry McGuire had a song back in the 70s that he used to sing that said, I walked a mile with pleasure. We chatted all the way. leaving me none the wiser with what she had to say. But I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. And it goes on in the chorus. It says, the frost is in the valley, the mountaintops turn gray, the promised buds all wither, their blossoms fade away. But our loving Father whispers, all this comes from my hand, and blessed are you when you trust what you just don't understand. Those are the opportunities that we have to grow through our pain.
Hey, do you feel as though you're always right or always have to get it right? Hear what the Proverbs have to say about that tomorrow on The Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and the instrument I play, wake up my